From KMXT and Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.
The North Pacific Fisheries Management Council is meeting in Sitka this week. In addition to hearing how much salmon is being intercepted in the Gulf of Alaska and Bering Sea by trawl fisheries, the council will review a proposal to supplement the Human Observer Program with electronic monitoring. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The North Pacific Fisheries Management Council regulates the so-called federal fisheries, which take place outside the 3-mile limit of Alaska state waters and within the exclusive economic zone of the United States, which extends 200 miles offshore. Strictly by the numbers, that's dozens of different species of bottomfish and crab, and the council will divide its time over 5 days among many of them. But the headline issues, as determined by the number of comments the council has received, are the bycatch of salmon by the trawl fleet in the Bering Sea and in the Gulf of Alaska, and the related issue of electronic monitoring or the installation of cameras aboard trawlers to ensure compliance with existing bycatch reporting methods. Salmon bycatch has come to the forefront in recent years due to steep declines in Chinook stocks in many of Alaska's major river systems and severe cutbacks in opportunities for subsistence, sport, and commercial fisheries in many areas of Alaska. Among the stack of comments on the issue, the council has received a letter from the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, Western Interior Alaska, Eastern Interior Alaska, and Seward Peninsula Subsistence Regional Advisory Councils, requesting a significant reduction in the Chinook and Chum salmon bycatch in the Bering Sea commercial fisheries. The groups want to see the bycatch of kings reduced from 45,000 to 16,000 fish, and the cap of chum salmon reduced from 500,000 to 250,000. For others, that's not enough. The Sitka Fish and Game Regional Advisory Committee last October took a strong position against halibut bycatch in the Gulf of Alaska. One of the authors of the Sitka letter, Eric Jordan, doesn't mince words in his latest comments regarding salmon bycatch. "To me, the issue isn't bycatch," Jordan writes. "Trawling is not an acceptable way to harvest fish, and like salmon traps and high seas salmon traps, it must be prohibited area by area, starting with halibut nurseries and crab savings grounds." Regardless of whether it lowers the cap on salmon bycatch during its Sitka meeting, the council will consider how to better enforce the existing cap. Since 2020, some trawl vessels have been equipped with electronic monitoring, or EM. The electronic monitoring systems aren't intended for catch accounting or to identify and record every salmon caught in a trawl net. Rather, EM is intended for compliance monitoring when the catch is offloaded at a processor. Comments to the council overwhelmingly support adopting EM, but for two. One, a fisheries observer, argued that EM greatly increased the workload for herself and colleagues who sampled fish at processors. A second commenter said simply, "Don't put 100% cameras on our trawlers. It will be game over for the trawl fleet. The council shouldn't bow to a group of whiners that are too lazy to move to better fishing." The North Pacific Fisheries Management Council meets in Sitka through June 14th. Links to follow the meeting on Zoom or YouTube can be found on the council's website. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Efforts to assess this year's Yukon River Chinook and summer chum salmon returns are just getting underway on the lower river. Speaking during the season's first Yukon River Drainage Fisheries Association's weekly teleconference on Tuesday, Alaska Department of Fish and Game summer season management biologist Dina Jalin said pilot station sonar counting and sample fishing began June 1st.
And to date, as far as I know, they haven't gotten any salmon in their test net, so all their counts are for non-salmon species.
Jalin added that drift and set net test fishing at other lower river locations so far are also not catching many salmon.
So far, we haven't gotten any chum or kings in the drift gill nets, and we started picking up just a few kings in the sets, the Big Eddy set net, starting on June 5th.
High water and driftwood are impeding both the sonar count and the test fishing. Meanwhile, a wildfire in the St. Mary's area has forced suspension of a U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service-run salmon assessment project. Last year's Yukon River Chinook and summer chum runs came in very weak, and both returns are forecast to be poor again this summer.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
13 organizations representing subsistence and commercial salmon fishermen in western Alaska have signed a joint letter intended to protect chum salmon. The letter asks a fishery along the coast of the Alaska Peninsula to shut down during the month of June to prevent it from harvesting chum salmon bound for western Alaska rivers. Chum salmon stocks crashed to record lows last year, and the letter writers fear that another low return this summer could push the chum past the point of recovery. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur reports.
There are many theories about why the chum crashed. One of the most talked about on the Yukon and Kuskokwim rivers is that the salmon are being intercepted by commercial fishermen in the Bering Sea. 13 fishing and tribal organizations are asking a group of those fishermen to voluntarily forego harvesting any salmon during the month of June. These fishermen are along the Alaska Peninsula and the Aleutian Island chain in a place called Area M. The Perce Saner fishery targets sockeye salmon, but incidentally intercepts chum as well. Last June, this fishery harvested over 1.1 million chum salmon. Genetic data from 2007 to 2009 shows, in some areas, the majority of chum caught in this fishery were heading towards the Yukon, Kuskokwim, and Arctic rivers. Karen Gillis is the executive director of the Bering Sea Fishermen's Association. She wrote the letter to the Perce Saners and acknowledges that a voluntary shutdown would economically hurt their fishery, but she believes it's a necessary sacrifice.
What we see is that they're feeding their families based on their commercial catches, and the people in the Yukon and Kuskokwim regions are not able to feed their families at all. So it's a compromise.
Yukon River fishermen could not harvest any salmon last year. Runs were too low. The average year once saw millions of chum return to the Yukon, but last year only about 255,000 returned. On the Kuskokwim, many fishermen reported catching only two or three chum all season. Chum on the Yukon and the Kuskokwim did not meet escapement goals, and runs are expected to be low again this year. Gillis and her fellow co-signers on the letter believe this summer is critical for the species' survival.
We believe that if the chum that are passing through the Area M fishery aren't able to make it to the spawning grounds again, it would be hard to imagine a recovery.
The letter is addressed to the Area M Saners Association. The association's president told KYUK that the group had no comment on the letter. Another letter has been sent to the state asking it to protect Chum salmon if the Perce Seiner fleet does not shut down. This letter is signed by the Bering Sea Fishermen's Association and the Yukon River Drainage Fisheries Association. Alaska Department of Fish and Game Commissioner Doug Vincent Lang responded to the letter, saying that, quote, much effort is underway to reduce the harvest of chum bound for Arctic, Yukon, and Kuskokwim rivers and the peninsula fishery. He plans to release more information on those efforts next week. For KYUK, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
Statewide support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by Satellite Technical Services, authorized distributor for the ACR Bivy Stick, a small two-way satellite communicator. Dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
A group of researchers is hoping that data collected from the bottom of the Gulf of Alaska will shed new light on the effects of bottom trawling. KMXT's Kirsten Dobroth has this report.
Scientists from the conservation group Oceana spent 8 days aboard a research vessel circumnavigating the Kodiak Archipelago late last month. John Warinchuk is a senior scientist and fisheries campaign manager with Oceana.
The Gulf of Alaska is a very special place and a very productive ecosystem. Our timing of our survey here in the spring means we saw just the abundance of life from the phytoplankton to the fish to the birds feeding at the surface.
The focus of the trip, though, was documenting life at the very bottom of the sea to better understand the impacts of commercial bottom trawling, according to Warinchuk. He says the group sent cameras and remotely operated vehicles down to depths more than 1,000 feet deep at some sites and photographed areas of the seafloor that had never been seen before.
We chose sites to explore that were both open and closed to bottom trawling, and we did see differences between those types of sites.
Warinchuk says researchers documented coral gardens and groves of sea whips, but the group also saw evidence of heavy damage to the ocean floor, including areas of crushed coral where trawling is permitted. Warinchuk says they don't know what those areas of the seafloor looked like before trawlers arrived, but they're planning to submit their observations to the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council and the National Marine Fisheries Service. They're in the midst of an essential fish habitat management review process for the area, and Warinchuk hopes the photos and videos from the water off Kodiak will help make the case to keep trawlers out of some areas of the ocean.
So much of the ocean has remained unexplored that any information we gather on seafloor habitat characterization, locations of sensitive habitats, that'll only help us make better fishery management decisions moving forward.
The Essential Fish Habitat Summary Report is slated to come out in October of this year. In Kodiak, I'm Kirsten Dobrath.
Thanks this week to KUAC's Dan Bross. And good fishing out there, everyone.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund in recognition of the fishing industry, which provides over 58,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.